Well, it's good to be back at Worth Baptist Church. Get to preach. I'm glad Brother Gillett invites me back once in a while. And I want to say that he's been very, very kind to my wife and I since he became pastor. And I want to compliment him on that. He and his wife treat us royally. And the people do. And we just appreciate that so very much. And I believe God's hand's on him. And while, you know, he came, the Lord led him here, and Brother Johnson. I have two young Timothys, you might say, in the ministry, Brother Paul Gaiman. God led him to Michigan, and I surely am glad. If you're from Michigan, I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about the weather. But at any rate, I'm glad he led him up there, and that was his will. He spent some time here. Then Brother Gillett, about eight years, and God led him to stay around here and led the church to want him to. And he proved himself, and he's a man of God, and you follow his leadership. And I'm just thankful. You know, I talk to people all the time, and some of you preachers here, you full-time workers, you know, you hear about it. Other churches in the transition, and they just go all to pieces. I mean, it's split up and go all to pieces and fights and feuds. Thank God that hadn't happened here. It didn't happen when I followed Dr. Barber, and it's not going to happen now. God is getting the glory. That's the main thing, is that God gets the glory, see. But I do appreciate Brother Gillett and his kindness to my wife and I very, very much. Well, you know what I think we need probably more than anything else right now in our lives would be to focus our whole hearts on Jesus Christ. To think about Him, to dwell on Him, to meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at one verse of Scripture, Revelation 1, verse 16. Maybe we'll read a couple of them here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. And this is a description of the glorified Christ, the luster of His greatness and His righteousness, the luster of the holiness of Jesus Christ, perfection, absolute holiness, seeing Jesus. The Bible says in verse 16, He had in His right hand seven stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. Have you tried to stare at the sun lately without sunglasses on? I'm glad we've got it back finally, but at least you know, you stare at the sun, and you cannot stare at it very long. It's too luminiferous. It's too magnanimous. It's too glorious. That's what he's talking about. Jesus here was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. You get the picture of that. The greatness of the vision of Jesus Christ so impacted him that he fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I believe the face of Jesus will do a lot for most of us, and a lot for a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. The face of Jesus to the believer is precious. I'm glad that I can turn to Jesus. I'm glad I can recognize that He is there at the right hand of the Father. He is my high priest, and He makes intercession for me, and He understands me. I'm glad that I have Jesus, as it were, when I pray, I can look into His face and know that Jesus loves me and know that Jesus wants to help me and do something for me. And that's a vision that we can always be guaranteed we're going to have throughout our life if we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that that is true. We know when Stephen was martyred, who did Stephen see? He saw Jesus standing. I don't know that most of the time I believe he's sitting, but whenever some of his saints are going through problems, I believe he stands up. But Stephen saw Jesus at the point of his death. I was talking to a family before church tonight. We have that funeral tomorrow in this family. The daughter said to me, she said, you know, Daddy's right where he wants to be. He's with Jesus. Now, we think that's sort of trite sometimes. We hear people saying it, but look, that's the truth. He is with Jesus tonight. He's exactly where he wanted to be, and he always wanted to talk about Jesus. She said, well, he was looking for the rapture. He was hoping for the rapture, but said, well, he didn't make the rapture, but he did go on to heaven. He did go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe at the moment of his death, somehow, there was a realization of the glory of the presence of Jesus Christ. And friend, I believe this. If I don't make the rapture, I want to tell you that I believe when the time comes for me to draw my last breath, I will see and experience Jesus at my side somehow, some way. He's going to be there when it comes to death. Don't fear death. Death is hardly anything different from the rapture. What's the difference in the rapture? And I've mentioned that recently, but if you're raptured, what happens to you? You go up to be with the Lord. What happens to you if you die if you're a Christian? You go up to be with the Lord. What happens to you if you die if you're not a Christian? Well, let's not talk about that. You won't see the face of Jesus then. You'll see the demons of hell dragging your soul into hell itself. But thank God, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a precious face to the believer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isn't it great to be a saved person and know that Jesus is there for us tonight, that we have the face of Jesus to turn to? The face of Jesus also will have an effect on a deceived person. You know, there are a lot of deceived persons in this world. I think some of the people that are most deceived are the people who are following the belief of Islam. Do I get an amen to that? Their whole thing, you know, of course, they think our Bible is antiquated, contaminated, messed up, no good, and that God gave Muhammad a newer revelation. If that be true, then this book was a lie to begin with, but that's not true. This is the book, and the other book is not the book. So there are people who are very deceived, but if we can just get them to see Jesus, that's what missions is about. That's what going to some of these places where there are all kinds of people here from different countries who believe all kinds of other things right now. But if we can get them to see Jesus, if we can just present Jesus to them, get them to see Christ, then many of them, not all of them, but many of them will be saved. What a great time it is, and what a wonderful time it is when you talk to somebody from another religion and you present Christ to them and they see the light, they see the face of Jesus, and they get saved. And I'm glad that there was a man like that by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And brother, he was religious. Saul was religious, probably more religious than most of us tonight. He was very religious. I mean, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was of the school of Gamaliel. He was of the Harvard of his day. He was a brilliant man, a great leader in the Jewish religion. The only problem was they left Jesus out. They left Jesus out. Tell me what changed that religious man. He was on the road to Damascus, and Christ appeared to him and struck him down and blinded him. Later got his eyes open. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ that did it to the Apostle Paul, though he was stooped in his religion. Don't ever think that a gospel witness will go in vain to people of other religions. You go ahead and tell them about Jesus Christ. You go on the missions trips, you go to these other countries. Brother Patterson, you've been all over the world and back again, probably out of space, I don't know. But anyway, you preach the gospel and tell them about Jesus. And Hindus get saved, and people of the Islamic faith get saved, and people of other faiths get saved, of other religions, because they see Jesus. It's a religion of grace and mercy and love. It's a religion of forgiveness. It is true Christianity. It is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever Christ appeared to Saul, he was blinded, and that blindness was blinding him to the error of his way, and he struck him down, and that is a sign of humility. And he knew the truth and came, and what a great servant he became of the Lord's. Why? Because he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. We need to see him. He saw him. Well, the face of Jesus should have an effect on the backslider. Should have an effect on the backslider. When we go to Luke 22, don't turn there, but we have the story of Peter. And Jesus told him, said, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to do that before that rooster crows, before the cock crows. And Peter said this as he was talking to him. He was saying to him, I won't do that. It's not going to be me. I will not deny you. I won't deny you. But he did. Hey, don't be too hard on Peter. You and I have denied him too quite a few times, if the truth is known. In one way or the other, in our private life or otherwise, we have denied the Lord Jesus Christ in some way. In other words, we've broken his heart. We've disobeyed him. We've grieved the Lord Jesus Christ. But what changed Peter? Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine how Peter felt when Jesus turned and looked at him? He had been with Jesus through his ministry. He had seen all the miracles and all of that, and he had bragged and said, I will never deny you. Don't even say that. I won't deny you. And he did it. But then when he focused on the face of Jesus again, and Jesus spoke to him, I think it broke his heart. And then he was following afar off. He's like a lot of like a lot of backslidden people tonight. There's some people following Jesus, and they say, I'm saved. I've been born again. I know Jesus Christ. But somehow you're trying to figure out, are they really saved? They follow him so far off, so far away. Their lifestyle, their practice, the things that they give importance to in their life, the practices and things that they do, the habits that they have, the sins that are in their life. They company with the enemy. They run with the wrong crowd. And there are those that even right now who have recently come out of this church. Some who graduated last year, and if we're not careful, some who graduate this year, who have graduated, will start following Jesus afar off. And that's a dangerous thing to do. But I want to tell you what will get you right. Peter wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. I mean, his heart got broken. He was just broken. Why? He saw the face of Jesus. He really centered in on Jesus. Too many people center in on the preacher and leadership and all of those other things and entertainment and all that. Friend, we need to center on Jesus. Get our thoughts back on who he is, what he has done for us, and the debt we owe him, and how we ought to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll look at Jesus and really look at him like you should, your heart's going to be broken. And like Peter, if you're backslidden, you're going to go in your prayer closet, and somewhere along the way, you're going to get on your knees and fall on your face and weep before God and say, God, forgive me. I'm backslidden. I've not given you the best of my life. I've been wasting so much of it. But if you'll look at Jesus, I think you'll do that. And there'll be tears. The longer you stay away, by the way, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater the tears are going to be and the more bitter the tears are going to be. But get our minds and eyes on Jesus. And then Peter got right with God. And then the effect of Jesus' face on a sinner. The effect of his face on a sinner. Judgment. John describes judgment from Patmos in Revelation chapter 6. And he talks about that as he describes some of that judgment and the judgment that is going to face people. The Bible says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Who are they hiding from? They're trying to hide from God. The judgment of God, the wrath of God, the pouring out of the wrath of God. These are important men. These are very important men. And they were fleeing into the mountains because of the judgment. I want to tell you, dear friend, if you're here and you're not saved, anybody here tonight that's not saved, you die before you get saved, you will not go to the judgment seat of Christ, you will go to the great white throne judgment. And the great white throne judgment is not an opportunity for you to get saved, not an opportunity for you to move out of the position of being judged into heaven. It is a time when your works, you're going to be tried and judged by your works as a wicked, evil, lost, hell-bound person. And then according to how bad you were, you're going to die and suffer the consequences and the punishment in hell. And it's going to be a real thing for you, the white throne judgment of God. The effect of Jesus' face on a sinner ought to bring those people to Him. Listen. Listen, folks, one of these days we're going to stand before Jesus Christ, either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. Which one's it going to be? If you're not saved, it won't be the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm glad if we'll get our focus on Jesus and know that judgment is going to come someday. It will provoke us, hopefully, to come to our senses, to come to the realization that we don't want that. And see the face of Jesus and get born again. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, any one person in this building, you need to come to your senses and see what Jesus has done for you and focus on Him. And know that if you don't accept His loving face and His merciful face and fall before Him, even as John did, then, my dear friend, you will face Him as your wrathful judge. And it won't be a picnic. It won't be anything good about it. It won't be anything sweet about it. It'll be a tough and rough time. What is the face of Jesus to you tonight? To the Christian, thank God it's comfort during our trials. It's a blessing anytime we need to call on Him. And when we come to death's door, Jesus will be there. The sweet face of Jesus. I'll be glad to finally someday see Jesus, won't you? We don't know exactly what He looks like. I personally don't think Jesus had long hair. And I think He was a masculine-looking man. He went up and down the Samaria and Galilee and all those places and those mountains. And probably like the Roman trend was, His hair was probably short. I don't know what He looks like up there in heaven. I know He has some scars, don't you? And that's about the only thing that man's ever put up there in heaven is the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we come to death's door, if we're saved, He'll be there. He'll be there. I've seen people die who were lost and said they were lost. I've seen them die when they were cursing and cursing God. But I've seen them die when they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'll tell you, there's a major difference. They know that Jesus is there. And you can just sense somehow there's the presence of God in that room. And then the backslider, what does it do? Draws you to repentance. Get right with God. If you're deceived, dear friend, in some other religion or some other thing, let Jesus be the thing you understand. He is the transforming power. He will change your life. The lost person, you don't want him at the judgment. You just need to see the face of Jesus. I think He has a beautiful face, don't you? And we'd do well to keep our minds and our eyes, so to speak, spiritual eyes, focused on Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and we'll have our invitation. I don't know what God has said to you tonight, but you know if He's spoken to you about something. But if there's a need, spiritual need, or the prayer places are open for you. You can just come and pray. If you just want to come and pray, the altar's always open for prayer. Many of you have burdens on your heart. You can come and bring them to the Lord. I don't know what it is, but somehow, maybe you're backslidden. You need to make some things right. Focus on Jesus. If you're not saved, step out and come and be saved. Father, I pray You would just help us to see Christ tonight. Oh God, thank You for Your Son. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for what He means to us tonight, or what I hope He means to all of us. May You speak to our hearts. Help us to focus on Jesus Christ. Help that lost person here tonight, even one little boy or girl or man or woman that's here, some teenager. they might see Jesus, get rid of all of their excuses because of His great beauty and love, and trust Him as Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.